So anyway, 2 Corinthians, Paul is speaking to the church. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's read 4 verses. Thank you, Mr. Tuck. It says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." We don't lose heart. We continue to obey God. We have all this suffering. Now, we know Paul and the ministry, they suffered. Most of them were killed. And before they were killed, they were persecuted for teaching and living what was right. And people would say, "What are you doing? What are you teaching?" They get so angry, and they would hurt. Left him for dead a number of times. He says, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame." Why are you so shameful? Or why are you acting shameful? Why are you living in shame? Why are you taking advantage of others? Why are you stealing from others? Why are you so prideful? We've renounced the hidden things of shame. We don't live that way. We not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We ourselves are living to overcome, as we heard in the sermonette. But even if our gospel is veiled, what we are teaching, if it is veiled, if some people are not getting it, it is veiled to those who are perishing because they do not want to hear. They do not want to love the truth. Verse 4, why is this? Because their minds, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, he's deceived, who do not believe, they will not hear, they will not put into practice. If they did, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, would shine on them. So it's because they don't want to hear God's truth. Not everyone has been delivered the word of God. But if it is delivered and they do not want to hear it, it's because they don't want to follow God and they are blinded by Satan. And God tells us in the scriptures that we are to come out of the world. We are not to be like the world. We are to hear every word and put it into practice. That's our calling. God is long-suffering, as it tells us. I'm not going to turn there. 2 Peter 3:9. He's long-suffering towards us. He doesn't want us to perish. But he's telling us there's an adversary who's hunting you down, who wants to deceive you, who wants to play into your flesh and doesn't want you to overcome it. Matthew chapter 7, let's turn over there, regarding false prophets. Tells us to beware of false prophets. Okay, now we have ourselves to wrestle with. What we need to be doing in our life. We need to be obeying the word of God, putting it into practice. But we're also told here, but beware of false prophets. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. Oh, they pretend to be humble. Oh, they pretend to be there for you, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They like to eat sheep. They like to take advantage of sheep, whatever they can get from the sheep. You will know them by their fruits. We, if we're obeying God, we will know those who are deceivers. because you will know them by their fruits. Do we know false teachers? I know a lot of times we look at, oh, the world, yes, those are false teachers. What about in the body? What about in the organization of United Church of God? Let's drop over to verse 21, because false prophets, they claim to be doing God's will. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And what does Christ say to you? I declare to you, I did not know you. You did those works, but you were not doing my Father's will. You were not doing his will. You know, it's so easy for, you know, you baptize someone or you counsel someone for baptism, especially in East Africa. It's just, they line up and why do you want to be baptized? Well, I want to be able to preach the gospel. I want others to know this information. And they can miss the point. Yes, that's good and that's exciting, but God does the calling. And we lose the focus on what we need to be doing individually, knowing what the Father's will is and putting that into practice, as we heard in the sermonette. We'll post that sermonette. You can go back and listen to what he stated in his message. You know, false teachers, they sound like the real thing. You listen closely. You know, you listen to Sunday preachers. They sound like almost the real thing. Verse 29. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught the people as one having authority and not as the scribes did. So there was a different teaching process. One having authority, teaching God's word, not as the scribes. If we're not following the words of Jesus Christ, we are allowing ourselves to be deceived. A follower of Jesus Christ sees their unrighteousness. Luke chapter 18. They see that they're a sinner. But it's more than just seeing that we're a sinner, right? It's doing something about it. Here in Luke 18, we have a number of parables. But here we see in verse 9, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, which we could look at. And what can we gather from this? What type of person are we? Let's not look at others in the room. Look at ourselves as we go through this message. Verse 9, Luke 18. He who spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, they were righteous and they despised others. I no more. I'm obeying God. You are not. And they despised others instead of loving others. When we see our sins, well, then we see that we're a sinner. Then we put that into practice by repenting. God helps us to then replace that sin by doing good. Everything is about replacing. You know, it's not just about thou shalt not kill and the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. You stop and say, oh, you shalt not kill. Okay, well, I'm not doing that. Well, be kind. You're not stealing? Well, give. Don't covet your neighbor? Well, you know, covet God's ways and be kind to your neighbor. Be willing to share. But here it says, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. They're extortioners, they're unjust, they're adulterers, or even this tax collector who, tax collectors, they take more than they should from people. So it's like, how many of us have said, oh, I'm glad I'm not like them? I know we're looking at ourselves now. Look what they do. Look what the world does. Look what our government does. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector over there, standing afar off, he would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying to God, be merciful to me, he's looking at himself, to me, I'm a sinner. I see that I'm breaking your law, and I need help. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified than the other. For everyone who exalts himself, oh, how great I am, look what I'm doing. Lord, Lord, look at me, I'm casting out demons, I'm doing this, I'm feeding, I'm doing this, will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And it's, you go down into Jesus Christ, about becoming childlike as a child. We need our parents. We cry out for them. We don't want to be hailed by anyone else. And you could go on with the other parables. We'll come back at a later sermon. But there are things that we need to know and that we need to apply, so that we are not deceived. And that's what the message is about today. I'm going to give you some examples of how people deceive, how things have happened in the past. And this is not everything. I'm touching on some things, but it gives you the context. But it also helps you to see what we need to be doing individually so we are not deceived. And brethren, we can't do this on our own. You're going to see it cannot be done on your own. False teachers will take scripture and they'll twist it. They'll take it out of context. They will make you feel unrighteous by showing themselves as being righteous. I'm with you. Only Jesus Christ can make us righteous by him living in us. But you see a lot of time that they speak with smooth words. They'll speak with authority. But the thing that you have to look at is what they're saying. Is it biblically sound? Is it coming from Scripture? Always look at that. Always turn to Scripture. You look at all the divisions that we've had, and we've had many. Turn to Scripture. Turn to Scripture. False teachers will say that if you don't see it their way, well, then guess what? You probably don't have God's Holy Spirit. But is that factual? Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We need to be grounded in the truth. And if we're grounded in the truth, we need to seek Scripture, and we need to be able to understand what Scripture says. Not to our own interpretation. Because people will twist God's word. People will twist it. We have to listen very closely. And we have to be applying it to be able to catch it. Second Peter, some of it you can catch, which I'll bring out here in a little while. You should be able to catch, but I'm also going to say not everyone does. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 16, people will twist God's word amongst the body. 2 Peter 3, 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. This is Peter talking about Paul, some of his words. It's even hard for Peter, because, you know, he talks, we're still going to go into that, about what law is, when Paul talks about that. Hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they also do to the rest of the scriptures. Okay, so think about that. 2 Peter chapter 2, let's go back. Let's read verses 1 through 3. But there, Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Brethren, we do the best we can. We're always battling this. People are having a different thought, and we're pushing back. We're pushing back. We're always pushing back. We don't let anyone put any literature on the table that has not been approved by our council, by the doctrinal committee. We're always pushing back. But here we're warned that they're among you. And many will follow their destructive ways. And many will follow. Sometimes behind the scenes, they're working their craftiness, getting people to follow them. And it's to follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. Do we know the truth? Deception is everywhere, brethren. Do we understand it? Do we know it? And it's going to increase. Turn over to Numbers chapter 16. I'm just giving you, you know, Satan is very cunning, okay? But we did read earlier that we will know them by their fruits. We will know. Numbers chapter 16. True ministers will not seek a following. A true minister will not seek a following. A true minister is not going to walk away from the truth and start their own congregation, worldwide, was somewhat different. It was different. They said you didn't have to keep the law anymore, right? And so we're like, what? They tried to get Mr. DeCotch. What are you doing? The ministry went to him. What are you doing? And then to the point they started firing the ministry because they still taught the law. That was an attack within the church. We get many, many attacks within the church. Here we see Moses bringing the people out of sin, right? Going to the promised land. And what does it say here? Let's just hit some highlights in regards to true ministers do not seek a following. But you know what? All these people that are sought a following, look how many people followed them. Verse 2, I'm in Numbers chapter 16. Here we see Korah, Dathan, and some others. They rose up before Moses and some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They were leaders. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron, and said to them, you take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? They wanted more power. They wanted more authority. They wanted a greater following. So when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. What? So he spoke to Korah and all the company, saying, "Tomorrow morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him." So let's leave this in God's hands. Now here we see God destroyed. We don't see that today. This was the nation of Israel. They were a nation. They had laws. They had rules. We live in amongst a nation. Okay? It's in God's hands how he works things out. We will know them by their fruits. We won't know them by God coming down and striking them. We don't know them by their death. We know them by what they are doing. But here's an example of God, how God thinks about when you go against his anointed. You try to rise up to divide the body. And verse 8, then Moses said to Korah, "Hear now, you sons of Levi, is it a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the work of the tabernacle of the Lord, to stand before the congregation to serve them? And he's brought you near to himself and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you." He's given you some authority. What you need to be doing. And he says, are you seeking the priesthood also? What? Therefore, if you're doing this and all your company are gathered together, you're doing it against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you should complain against him? And what does it say here? And in verse 12, "And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and they said, 'We will not come up.'" We're not coming up to you, Moses. We respect you. What do they say? Is it a small thing that you have brought us out of the land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us?" So here, they weren't being obedient to God, right? They didn't like God calling them out of sin. They wanted to go back to sin. Therefore, they were deceived and they were rising up. Their relationship wasn't right with God because they didn't want to obey him. And then they start seeking authority, which they should not be seeking. "Moreover, you have not brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields or vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We're not going to listen." So you see this authority that they don't want to follow. Don't justify actions when you see that. And our actions should be not like that. In verse 19, "And Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation." So this is the next day. God has come. And what happens? "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and saying, 'Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment.' Then they fell on their faces and said, 'O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin and you be angry with all the congregation?'" So Moses is trying to work with God. It's like, hey, this is one man. In verse 35, "And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering incense." You can back up. Let me see here. They were standing They were standing at their tents. Yeah, here, verse 27. So they got away from around the tents of Korah, Dathan and Abiram came out and stood at the door of their tent with their wives and their sons and their little children. So do you think that they knew they were being deceived? They're there, standing there. Their family, even the little kids. Yeah, we know we're right. They're all consumed. Then let's drop down to verse 41. The very next day, after they saw this happen, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And they thought they were right. Israel saw it. What happens the very next day? What happens to the people? Were they living and obeying God, or were they complaining about coming out of sin? If you're not obeying God and complaining about sin, we will not see what is righteousness. We will not know men by their fruits. So on the very next day, the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." What? You killed the people of the Lord. They were righteous. They were right. They were doing this. They wanted to go back to Egypt. You did it. And what happens? God then goes and starts consuming over 14,000 people before Aaron was able to go and pray for the people for the plague to stop. The ministry didn't see it. The people didn't see it. They were deceived. Unless we believe, unless we're hearing the word of God and put it into practice, we will be deceived as well. And many people died. There was a lack of humility. They wanted to be in charge. Who's the God of this world? He lacked. Lucifer eventually lacked humility, became prideful. And what did he want to do? I want more. He was over a third of the angels, but no, I want more. I want your throne, God. He influences people in the same way, not to fall authority, to take that authority. You know, false teachers, they don't like hanging around people that know the truth and they're living the truth. They hang around people that don't understand the truth. So they can twist things to get them to follow them, because they want to isolate you. Think about that. Second Timothy 3:13, I'm just going to read it to you. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and also being deceived themselves. They think they're right. A false teacher lies. Bottom line. Our former association, we came out of. Most of us were in it. You don't have to keep the law anymore. That's a lie. Look at it as a lie and run from it. Another splinter group said, UCG is going to do away with the Sabbath. It was a lie. A lie. Look at it for what it is. It's a lie. Oh, but they did get some people to say, and I've heard it many times, oh, but both sides were wrong. Oh, was Moses perfect? No. Doesn't matter. If we're accused of doing something wrong and we take it humbly, great is your reward. That's what it tells us. That's what Scripture says. And now some are even saying, oh, we're the same. Oh, that's what Satan wants us to believe. Oh, accept that sin. Don't deal with it. Let's just move on. Be on guard. It's going to get worse and worse. 1 John chapter 4. Here's John. What's he telling the church? Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every human being. But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. They've accepted the world's ways. They've accepted to be deceived. Maybe they didn't want to be deceived. Maybe they knew what they were doing was wrong. They should have known. We do know when we're doing something wrong. And then if we're not unlearning and changing to do what's right, we get deeper and deeper. Then it's like, oh, then we think that, oh, we believe the lie. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So they were wrestling with this back then. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Verse 13, by this we know that we abide in him and he is in us because he has given us his Holy Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son, Savior. We need a Savior. Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God. All right, he's the Son of God. He came to deliver the message, the gospel message of changing who we are, hearing his message, putting it into practice, learning of his miracles, learning what he said. And what ultimately happens, and my house. There are many mansions in my Father's house. It's the whole gospel message. God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. And we do what he says because we know he loves us. And verse 17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. We've come out of the world. We're coming out of the world every day. Be on guard. Don't get emotional when you hear a false teacher. We'll get emotional. Oh, there. It's. Hey, we're being warned. When you see division, be patient. See what's happening. See how it's going to play out. Don't allow others to convince you something that Scripture does not say. We've heard many ministers in the past, I had to go back and study that. I had to go back and look at that. We've had some ministers say, give us all your possessions. Some splinter groups, they've left. Minister says, give us all your possessions. And they'll quote Acts chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. Yeah, we have all things in common. They shared everything. They sold houses. They brought all their goods together. Well, if you read that and study that, they thought Christ was going to return at that time. But people prey on sheep. They prey on the simple that don't understand the scriptures. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 13. If I was to give all my money to the minister, or to the church, how would I be able to fulfill Proverbs chapter 13? Now, you could ask these individuals, what would they say when they saw it? The very next day, many said, "You, Moses, you killed these people, these righteous people." How many will see it? How many have seen it? How many have left? Christ says, many. We're going to look at that here in just a little bit. Many will come in my name, deceiving many. But Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. If I gave all my money to the church, my house, my car, everything, I wouldn't be able to fulfill this. Proverbs 13, verse 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I have nothing to leave an inheritance. But the wealth of the sinner, you know, it talks about it, is stored up for the righteous. Well, if you hoard it and you don't give it out and you die, the righteous here is talking about the government or the righteous judge, okay? It has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But verse 25, the righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul. So the righteous, you know, they share. They're fine with what they have, okay? But it's the wicked. But the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. They always want something. They want to take what's yours. They want a following. They want the money. They want the power. You know, you could go through the scriptures in the New Testament where people said they visited John's house. They visited Peter's house. They visited this person's house. They didn't say it was the church's house, church's property. It was their house. Paul, I'm just going to refer there because of time, but Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11 that I'm not here to take your money. I don't want to be a burden on any of you. Yes, I've been given some gifts from another church, but I'm not here to ask you for money. I don't want to be a burden. Well, if it was already the church's, why would he say that? You can look and time again at the scriptures. Be on guard. Romans chapter 16. Now I urge you, brethren, Paul is saying, note those who cause divisions and offenses. Be aware of them. Note them. Which are contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Avoid listening to them. Even avoid associating with them. If they're, you know, you don't want to get caught up. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. But they, what they teach is not biblical sound. Look at Scripture. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. He's talking about obedience. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple. You need to be wise in what is good. And what is simple concerning evil? I want you to know what evil is. Know and be able to discern between good and evil. If we're practicing getting rid of evil and putting on righteousness, we will see that. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Yes, we wrestle with it now. We're in the world, but we're not to be of the world. But let's turn over to who makes us stable. I believe we know who makes us stable. It's God the Father and Jesus Christ. We have to ask ourselves, when that light bulb comes on in my mind with God's Holy Spirit and shows me what I'm doing is wrong or shows me what I need to be doing is right, do we do it? Do we change? That's a question you have to ask yourself. If we're ignoring it, then we're allowing ourselves to be deceived. And then we think we're right. We think we're fine. First Peter 5, verse 8 says, be sober. In other words, be calm, be aware, know that this is going to happen. Be vigilant. In other words, be cautious, but also be active. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, you know, there's evil out there that's caused by sin, there's caused by Satan. They're experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Satan does that in the world, misfortunes. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered, after you have been tempted, and he resists a while, perfect. You're struggling to be perfect, having a relationship with God, doing his will. Establish, strengthen, make one strong, make your soul strong to be stable and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. God the Father and Jesus Christ, make us stable. Some scriptures to write down. I already talked about 2 Timothy 3:13, that evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Matthew 24:12 says, the love of many waxes cold. The agape love that people have and not using it waxes cold. They allow themselves to not continuing to obey God and to be of the world, so they don't have that love anymore. They can't. They're deceived. It waxes cold. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm going to read three verses. I'm going to read verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And we know it's going to get worse and worse. And that falling away is falling away from the truth. Those in the church. And it increases just before the tribulation. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. We talked about in the Bible study last week. We went through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 9 says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders that he's able to do through individuals. And verse 10, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. We have the opportunity. We hear it, but are we applying it? That they might be saved. You know, in the day of Pentecost, you know, we're about 5 weeks away from Pentecost. First Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Was it 31 AD? 3,000 individuals were baptized on that day. Did you know that also Simon Magus was also baptized by the disciples? How many of those people were converted? Or maybe they were all converted. How many people stayed to be converted? Simon Magus was baptized. He wasn't converted. He wanted spend money on the Holy Spirit. He wanted to use it. Just because a person is baptized doesn't mean they're living it. Just because I'm a minister of Jesus Christ, or any minister, or I shouldn't say that. I want to be a minister of Jesus Christ. But just because I'm a minister doesn't mean I'm a minister of Jesus Christ unless I'm living it. You should know me by my fruits. And any minister. 2/3 of the ministry left on the last split. 2/3. And they found out that they were lied to. How many came back? How many of that splinter group came back? Being deceived is serious business. We don't want to go there. We want to come back. We have, in John chapter 3, a minister who was deceiving the church. He had preeminence over the congregation, superiority. Go back and read that, 3 John. Actually, just let me tell you the chapter. One chapter there, but just read that chapter. We mustn't fall for Satan's tactics, or we'll be deceived. We need to know that many will follow him. Many are invited to know the Word of God. Many are called. Many are baptized. Many receive or laying on of hands. God knows the heart. That's why this is serious, to look at ourselves. In the letter I asked, we shouldn't be afraid to ask God to show us who we are as he sees us. How do you see me, God? And what do I need to change? Are we serious? Do we want to know what righteousness is? Do we want to be made right through Jesus Christ? James says in James chapter 4:8, he says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do we want to know his ways, or do we still want to hang on to them? He says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, in the church, you sinners who are still practicing sin, that are hurting other people, that are not obeying God, that are taking advantage of others, who may be just sitting here to warm up a seat for whatever reason, whatever your motives are. Purify your core. Get on your knees and repent. You double-minded, stop playing games. When things start happening, will we be ready? Mr. Shabe talks about that in his letter. So I say, ask God to help see you as he sees you. These are some takeaways, some more takeaways. Satan is the deceiver, so we don't want to believe him. We don't want to be practicing his ways. When we don't believe in God, we are allowing ourselves to be deceived. We don't put his ways into practice. It's important. We're made perfect through Jesus Christ. So know and apply the scriptures. I'm going to turn over to Jude and read 2 verses over there. And don't fall for those who twist the scriptures to their own destruction. We must hear the words of Jesus Christ and put them into practice. Jude warns us, or tells us, he gives us encouragement. Jude 1, verse 24 and 25 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, talking about God is able to keep you from stumbling, able to keep you from being deceived, from falling away, as which many do just before the tribulation and persecution starts hitting. And to you I'm going to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He wants us to be the bride of Christ. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. His kingdom is going to reign. Let's be there. Don't let men make you feel unrighteous by thinking you have to follow them, to serve them, allowing them to misquote the Bible on you. Know your scriptures. Have a relationship with God so you can know the scriptures. False teachers will use tactics and words to move you emotionally instead of teaching you to be grounded in the truth. You need to do this. You need to do that. Oh, you can't talk to family members. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that. They move you emotionally. Got to follow, because they're weak in the faith. They're weak in the scriptures. They haven't been obeying God and applying it. Be grounded in the truth. Don't be caught off guard. Make sure God is leading you daily and that we're following. Always seek humility and have a repentant spirit when you sin. It's important. Get rid of the pride. Seek humility. I know nothing, right? Little child knows nothing. We need our mom and dad to teach us. Are we willing to listen? So allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten you daily and put God's word into practice. I hope that some of these things that we discussed today will help you to look at desiring to not want to be deceived, to really desire to put God's ways first, so that you can be there as a first fruit. That's what God the Father and Jesus Christ are producing. They give us a warning. This is going to happen. And they give us the antidote. Let's put it into practice.